Hello there, and welcome to episode 5 of Jawa Jabber, playing exclusively on Utini Radio. I'm your host, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friend and co-host, Dennis the Phantom Menace.
Hello there, everybody. On today's episode, we're going to take a deep dive into the latest episode of The Clone Wars. And honest to God, not going to say anything about a certain virus that may or may not be taking over our own galaxy.
So sit back, forget your troubles, and get ready to witness the power of this fully armed and operational podcast.
Commence primary ignition.
Oh, brilliant. Let's get going.
All right, everybody, welcome to our newest episode. We are going to be discussing On the Wings of Kiridax, which is episode number 3, I believe. Is it 3 or 4?
It's episode 3, yes.
Episode 3 of The Clone Wars.
Oh, my favorite of the prequel trilogy.
Yes, and the darkest Star Wars movie.
That's why I like it. Wait, Last Jedi was pretty dark.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think it was as dark as Revenge of the Sith.
No, I agree. I agree with you, yes. But that's another podcast. So, we start off this episode with our fortune cookie, which this week is Survival is one step on the path to living, which is awfully ironic with the situations that are going on in our own galaxy. But we're not going to talk about that, because this is Star Wars talk, and that's what we do best.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if the Force guides us. We'll get to that part, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, yeah, I mean, it might come up.
Maybe on an extra feature.
Bonus features. Hey, it's why you buy the DVD.
That's true.
Speaking of, where are our deleted scenes, Disney?
Yeah, we'll have to see if those are on there. And again, like we've said before, we revert back to, we are talking about The Rise of Skywalker that will be out on digital.
But when you pre-order it like us at the Disney store to get the lithographs that they didn't give Kylo Ren one of, we have to wait another 2 weeks.
Yes, that is a gripe of ours.
And if my mall closes because of this unspoken of thing that we're not talking about in our galaxy, heads will roll. Talk about episode 3. I will go full Anakin on everybody.
I may have to get it off of voodoo.com, which has apparently some extra stuff that the Blu-ray or wherever else with the exclusive features of different retailers doesn't have. So they're really spreading it out everywhere. Okay, so we have the voice of war at the beginning of every single episode that kind of describes what happened in the previous episode. So it kind of keeps us up to speed as to what's going to happen in this one. And so we're at the city of Percol on Skako Minor, and we pick up where we left off in the prior episode with the Bad Batch and Anakin fighting the battle droids. And that's where Echo's being held by Wat Tambor and the Techno Union. And so it kind of just throws us right in to where they're still fighting the rest of the droids. And they're going to detach Echo from all the machines that are still attached to his head.
Yes, and Rex explains to Anakin that all Echo remembers right now is the Citadel.
Right, which we mentioned that was a prior episode in another season.
Season 3, I believe.
Yes. And I liked how Hunter is using vibroblades or knives to fight.
Yes.
And we see those vibroblades in The Mandalorian, when there's a confrontation between the Mandalorian and, I forgot, it was the big heavy infantry Mandalorian, and they were fighting and they kind of had the blades up to each other's heads. Those were your vibroblades. We had vibroblades in Solo, A Star Wars Story.
I was going to say, wasn't that Drayden Voss's things too?
Yeah, those looked a little more like, I don't know, they shined. They had like a lightsaber look.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ones that Hunter has, I don't know, they seem kind of etched into the, I don't know, it's a different design, but it's still cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like them. I like Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter is my favorite. Has been since the beginning and still is.
He's becoming my favorite, except for right now it's Wrecker.
Is it?
I'm off of Tech and I want Wrecker. I like his Hulkness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll get into it, but like when he throws everybody up into...
Oh, gosh, that was awesome.
It was amazing. And I was just like, I love him. This is me. This is Hulk.
So let's just talk about that now. I mean, Wrecker throws Hunter up this, they're trying to escape through this shaft that's in the ceiling, and they're going like, how are we going to get up there? And Wrecker just picks Hunter up and throws him up there.
Yeah.
And then Hunter kind of braces himself inside. And what did he said something like, could it give me a warning or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Rex is like, oh, give me a warning next time or something, which he doesn't do later on.
Nope.
And it's fantastic.
And then he gets everybody else and does the same thing except for Anakin.
Except for Anakin. Anakin's like, I got this. And he does his Jedi jump.
Exactly, Jedi jump.
Can we talk about Echo's R2-D2 arm, though?
Oh my gosh, yeah, go ahead.
Because that's how he opens the exhaust vent, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to find a way out. But no, so Echo has this, like, R2 arm, and he uses it to open up the exhaust vent, and then Wrecker does his Hulk thing and, like, throws everybody.
Yeah, he has, I mean, R2 is what I thought of, but I also thought of, actually more thought of Chopper from Rebels. Because he has like a little, like a triangular looking piece that goes into the access port or the terminal.
Right.
Whereas R2 is kind of like rounder.
True.
And I also like the connection when they were taking the plugs and the hoses out of the back of Echo's head and neck. Like the plugs, I recognized how, I think they used some inspiration from The Matrix and to mimic the plugs of the humans that were in The Matrix.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, actually. Definitely reminded me of The Matrix in a good but creepy kind of way.
Oh, yeah. And then the bolts in his neck, obvious reference to Frankenstein's monster.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, hybrid man and machine now, kind of put together. Yeah, let's go back a little bit, though. So after they fought most of the droids, and then...
How about the Decimator?
Yeah, the Decimator, the ball droid.
The miniaturized Death Star tech.
Yes.
In my head, that's not canon.
So do you remember what the Decimator was supposed to do?
Yeah, it just destroyed him.
But specifically organic matter. It was supposed to destroy any organic matter in the room. And in the unused animatic of the unfinished story reel for this episode, it actually was able to infiltrate. And the Techno Union basically tested it out on some of the Poltecs that were the natives on that planet. And so it actually showed them being kind of like disintegrated, and they're all in pain and everything. But I guess that was a little too graphic or whatever for Disney, so they cut it.
They should have kept it.
They really did. You know, I was thinking like they should have kept it because we've had and not to go off on a tangent, but we've had Thanos get his head chopped off. We had Snoke cut in half, and that's all Disney. So not sure why they cut this.
As long as you don't show blood, it's fine.
Yeah.
And again, episode 3. And I know that was before Disney.
So the Decimator, we didn't actually see it touch anything because they got out of that room before it actually destroyed any organic matter. And that's one of the droids said there's nothing destroyed because it can't sense any kind of organic matter, and it kind of just shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else was there that you really liked about this episode?
It was a solid episode. It was action-packed. The animation, again, was beautiful. Mm-hmm. When they get out of the exhaust vent and they're like before they hop on the wings of the creatures,
the Kyradex.
When they're on the exhaust, well, no, when they're out of the exhaust vent and they're trying to get to the other side.
Yeah, they're on that like bridge of that pipe or something.
It had Cloud City vibes to me.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
And that was like even the look, like the color palette of the background kind of looked like Bespin to me. And like Bespin at like sunset, not like during the day because it was kind of darker.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gave off that whole Cloud City vibe, which I don't know if you know this, but that's one of my favorite locations in the original trilogy.
Well, then you must have liked the nice throwback at the end of Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah, I did. Like, I liked the action. The animation, again, was beautiful. And again, Anakin's hair stood out to me.
Yeah, I didn't look at Anakin's hair that much this time.
It was really only that Cloud City part where I noticed it. And then when he jumps and, like the hair flows. It just, I don't know. It's one of those little details that just sticks out to me.
You know what I noticed the most? It's the lightsaber again. I'm obsessed with lightsabers. Everybody knows that. But it's... Just the movement of it was extremely accurate to how it moved and how it hummed and how it made any kind of motion was translated into the sound that we could hear. It wasn't just the one swing and it makes a whoosh sound. It was like every tiny little 1 centimeter flick of the wrist, and it made a different sound as if it was alive in his hand. So yeah, I noticed that. So you noticed the hair, I noticed the lightsaber sound. We have our own things.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Well, wait till we get to Darth Maul later in the season and I'll notice the lightsaber and
capture
and everything. So yeah.
Well, you'll notice it more because it's a double-bladed lightsaber, so it's going to make even more sound.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh my God, can we just get there now? But no, and then I found an interesting parallel with the bad guys, and what is with they're always turning people into machines.
Mm-hmm.
Grievous, now Echo, Vader will eventually, mm-hmm. you know, like... They want to make these man... They're obsessed with droids. They need to stop. It's like the people with the toilet paper. They just need to stop.
Well, I think there's actually like a theme here, if you don't mind me going into it a little bit. That
please do.
I think they're showing how the difference between individuals who are obsessed with power and technology would, in this case, for example, being the Separatists, or at least the Confederation of... What is it called? Do you remember that?
Confederacy of Independent Systems?
Yes, that is correct.
Right? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Confederacy of Independent Systems... They are obsessed with that, like what you said, like having some kind of droid or mechanical or technological innovation to be able to be superior. Whereas you have the Jedi and the Jedi Order in many different areas, not just in the films, but they're very much more attached to nature and the Force and how the Force works with their natural environment. So there's this juxtaposition between nature and technology, or nature and machine. And I think that's throughout all the prequels, the originals, the sequels, and even the extra material. And I think that's just a common theme. And so, I mean, you hit it right on the nose. That's what they want. That's what they think is going to rule the galaxy. And time and again, we kind of see the pushback with the natural side of the Force influencing Force users, Jedi, even Sith, that they don't necessarily... The only time we ever actually see the armor when it comes to machines is when there's something that happens to them, and that it's the only way to keep them alive.
It's definitely a theme, and it was established back in 1977. And I know you didn't know Vader's backstory in 1977, but he has that line in the... when they're talking about the Death Star and the Senate and everything, and, mm-hmm. you know, the, do not be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force. And it's ironic because he's half machine.
Right.
Or three quarters machine by that point.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, yeah, his legs. But I wanted to dive into that a little bit more.
60%?
I don't know. There isn't a percent. Let's just say he's more machine than man. Because there's a lot more that I kind of started thinking about when it came to the machine part of Echo. And as we talked about, like the arm, him having that terminal or the access to different ports. Actually, I like that part in that he has an extra way of helping his friends in the Republic with using those kinds of skills. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that the Techno Union that we see on Skaku Minor and the ones that were controlling Echo and using him for their own benefit, they never officially joined the Separatists. They were using the conflict to their advantage, and they were essentially war profiteers. They kept harping on this, their corporate neutrality. And so selling their tech to the highest bidder was basically their main goal. And just like we just talked about, that the Separatists were officially the Confederacy of Independent Systems, I like that there was, at least from what I saw or what I understand, that there's a connection there to the United States, kind of, where we started out with the Articles of Confederation, and under that, the states acted autonomously. So they were all in league with one another, but they weren't all in one union. It was, everybody had their own ideas, but they all kind of sat at the table together. So I like that thing here where you had the Nemoidians, you had Count Dooku, you had the Techno Union, you had the Geonosians. They were all like, they didn't like the Republic, but that doesn't mean they were all the same.
Yeah.
So I like that connection there. And I also was thinking about how the way that they designed the mechanical parts of Echo, it kind of, you mentioned before, it reminds me of Darth Vader in that, did the Techno Union maybe design the technology that created Darth Vader?
Oh, I kind of already assumed that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not canon or anything, but just the just from that one line in episode 2 where it's Wat Tambor and he's like, the Techno Union Army. Right? And then, like, he's in league with Dooku, mm-hmm. who is in league with Palpatine. Mm-hmm. So, of course, and Palpatine is the puppet master.
Right, right.
So, of course, when he needs to make a cybernetic whatever, mm-hmm. he's going to be like, yo, Techno Union, make me a Darth Vader.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes sense because this, they had talked about how they were neutral when it came to their corporate standing in the Confederacy and then selling their tech to the highest bidder. If they sold that technology to the Republic, then the Republic became the Empire. And then, of course, then you have Darth Vader. So there's a whole string of events there.
Well, and that doesn't stop either, because I know we don't know what happens to the Techno Union or whatever, but look at The Last Jedi. When DJ and Rose and Finn take that ship, well, I guess DJ is the one that hijacks the ship, but, like, you know, he's like, oh yeah, we're stealing from the bad guys. And he's like, hey, who's to say that it's the bad guys? And he's like, and they're looking through the things, and it's like, yeah, look, you know, they made TIE fighters, mm-hmm. And then they keep going, and they made X-Wings too.
Yeah, that's a good connection. Yeah.
You know, it's not about sides, it's just about making, you know, and there's a line in there, like, war is the most profitable, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I forget the exact line.
Yeah, Rose, I think, asks Finn or tells Finn that there's only one thing that'll get you this rich, and it's...
Yes, uh-huh, exactly, when they're looking at the Harry Potter animals.
The Fathiers.
There you go, I couldn't think of it.
So, I also like, when we were talking about how when Echo is being unplugged, and Rex asks him if he's okay, and Echo looks at him and says, I've got a big headache. Mm. I just like that little humor there. Like, Echo's still Echo, even though he's attached to all this stuff.
Yeah, he just seems good after that, you know? Like, after they get him unplugged. Mm-hmm. Like, while he was still plugged in, all he could remember was the Citadel and stuff. And then it was almost instantly, as soon as they got him unattached, he was like, hey, I'm back. Mm-hmm.
He also now has, because he was attached and because he was this experiment that Wat Tambor and the Techno Union was working on, or I guess using to their advantage, he has access now to the entire Techno Union database, which is helpful.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that will come in handy.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think. I mean, I don't think they would put that in the story or make that a part of it if it didn't.
Yeah, they're very smart with stuff like that.
And did you notice that when they, before they jump on top of the Kyrdax to fly away, did you notice that when Tech's running through all the stuff on his visor and he uses the distress call of the Kyrdax to call them? Do you remember what that sounded like?
What about?
Do you remember what the Kyrdax sound distress call sounded like?
Oh, from the original movie.
From Attack of the Clones. It's the scream from the monster that is attacking Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme in the Geonosian arena.
Which one? There's three.
The one that's like, has, I remember its name, but the one that has big claws and spider-like.
Hang on. Jackie, you'll yell at me if I don't remember these names. There's the Reek, Akle, and the Nexu.
This the Akle then, because the Nexu is the tiger-like one.
Okay.
And the Reek is the rhino. But anyway, that's the sound that it actually makes. And I noticed it immediately because I remember how annoying it was to me as a kid watching Attack of the Clones. Mm. And I was like, can we just kill the thing already so it can stop screaming? And to this day, it's still kind of like, I can't wait till the scene's over because I can't stand the sound anymore. But it reminded me of this, so it was a nice throwback.
Now, how do we get on them?
How else? We jump!
Okay, so then when they jump onto them and they start flying on top of the Kyrdax, kind of a weird name, but I remember seeing an episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars Download. I think Star Wars is doing that now.
Okay.
And they were talking about what they did for the sound of the wings of the Kyrdax. And so, of course, they look very bat-like and said that they were using really heavy pieces of, like, leather, like clothing and things like that. And then, you know, so make it sound almost like if a bat was flying at that size of a bat, what it would sound like. So I thought it was kind of cool, like the background of it.
Yeah, that is neat.
Yeah.
The sound for all these Star Wars things always impresses me.
For the Kyrdax, we really looked at bats and things like that to really look at the movement. As we keep trying to go in Clone Wars, we always keep trying to push the fidelity and things. So one thing you can really look for in them is like the wings. They have that little extra movement and turbulence to try and show that they're catching air and everything.
The vocals were created by Dave Acord, and then the wing flaps were sort of this combination of leathery cloth and really heavy whooshes. So yeah, getting to see new creatures and then put in those sounds for it is really exciting. With Star Wars, you're always going back to Ben Burtt's original sound design and always trying to reference him, use as much stuff as you can. Because of where the story takes place, you're in that same timeline that he was working in for the first three movies. And then I'm the one that actually gets to cut those sounds to the picture.
Yeah, Ben Burtt is great, and they're using all of his ideas, and I just think for someone to just think of that back in the 70s and the 80s was, you know, revolutionary.
Well, yeah, and then his Padawan. Like, can we talk about Matthew Wood for a second?
Yeah.
Like, he started at Lucasfilm when he was like 17 years old as an intern, and now he's like the sound guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the voice of General Grievous.
And all the battle droids.
Oh, he did the battle droids too?
He does the battle droid voices. They just make it sound like, you know, like a robot.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. And I knew he did Grievous. But like, it was weird because I think the story goes like they didn't know what they wanted Grievous to sound like. And since he was one of the sound editors, he was just doing all these different voices. And George was like, oh, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. And I love it now.
Oh, yeah. It's great. I didn't like it at first.
I never had a problem with it. I just couldn't ever think of what something like that would look like, you know, his character. And then when I heard it, I'm like, yep, that's it.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. I just remember in episode 3, like even the first time watching it, it just stood out to me a little bit. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Why is he coughing?
Yeah, that's always a funny meme nowadays.
Yeah.
So I have said before, and I'm just in love with the sound of Anakin's lightsaber. I love how they're doing that. And then when they get on the Kyrdax, we find out that the D1, what are they called? Let me double check here. They are D-Wing Air Support Battle Droids. They fly now, and we mentioned that.
They fly now?
They fly now.
Oh, great.
And so they were also talking on this Clone Wars download episode. It's like a short clip from StarWars.com that they wanted to maybe look like they were flapping, kind of like birds. But because of the Kyrdax flapping their wings, and then they thought if the droids were flapping their wings, it would just be too much happening in some of the scenes where it was very action-packed. So they wanted to make a differentiation between the Kyrdax and the battle droids. So they just had them almost just glide almost with just the straight wings.
Yeah, I liked the way that they flew.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool looking.
And I love how Matthew Wood still does all the sound effects, like as if the battle droids are, you know, cognizant of what's going on. They're not just programmed, and they're like screaming, and while they're hitting like the mountain, one of them exploded. It's just funny to me. Some people find that really annoying. It's like, oh, why are the battle droids talking like they're humans? But I like that.
Oh, I think it's great.
Right. So they are flying on the Kyrdax back to the village with the Poltecs. And when they land there, the chief of the Poltecs basically says, and Tech translates again, that they brought the war to their planet. And then Rex says that he's sorry they did, and that he not only did the separatists the ones that actually brought it, but they kind of continued the war there. But then he shows them Echo, and he says, look what they did to our friend Echo. And it kind of, you know, shocks them, and they look at him, and he said they took away his freedom, his humanity, and tried to turn him into a machine, which was like absolute parallel to Anakin Vader.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And I was like, this gives Anakin a glimpse of his future, even though he doesn't know it yet, which was like for us as the audience. I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
And Wat Tambor, we've mentioned that he sees Echo as his research experiment. And so the whole point of the droids chasing them back there was to find more information as to where the clones were and then how to go get Echo back and destroy the rest of them. But so in that scene towards the end of the actual episode, I like that they brought back the walkers. Remember from the Clone Wars movie?
Yes, I did like them.
Yes. That was awesome. It reminded me a lot of War of the Worlds. Have you ever seen that film?
Yes, I was going to say that. Yes. Like the original and the remake.
Mm-hmm. The remake, I don't know. I don't like it as much.
Oh, the remake was terrible.
Yeah.
But they still look the same.
Yes, they do still look the same.
I was going to say, I'm really glad that the Walkers were there because Anakin got to show off his badass Jedi powers. And he did like a flip and a cut. And okay, I don't know why. But for some reason, when anybody takes a lightsaber and like puts it through metal, I love it. I think because like you can't do that in real life.
Yeah.
So it just makes me happy. Like Qui-Gon in episode one with the door and Darth Maul in episode one with Qui-Gon. But like, you know.
Yeah, I like that because it shows like it's like melting it. It's turning into magma, like the metal.
Yeah, and then the shot of Anakin when he like flips off of the walker, mm-hmm. and then he like stops midair
mm-hmm.
and like force push. Oh, dude.
That was probably one of the coolest parts of the episode for me.
That was the coolest part of this season so far.
He does a backflip and then he uses a force push to knock over the walker.
Yeah, before he lands.
That's so cool.
Like he's levitating in the air. Oh, it was it was awesome.
Well, I like that before he does that, it was like he was about to attack the walker. And then he's just so extra. Anakin mm-hmm. is just a drama queen.
That's why I love him.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it's just so funny to see it again, because even Echo says, still showing off, huh, General? And he goes, you know me, Echo. And he just does the whole dive onto the walker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love it. I think he pulls a Legolas and takes down one of them all by himself.
Yeah, and then after that, all the other droids fall back.
Did you notice the connection to, like, because I thought it was kind of silly, like, oh, okay, you can just kill them by, or destroy the walkers by, using lightsaber to destroy the eye. But did you notice the connection there?
No.
Okay, so I think it's kind of cool. So, remember in The Phantom Menace when we have little Anakin Skywalker and then Jar Jar's messing around and crap in Watto's junk shop, and then there's that pit droid that keeps bothering him?
Pinch the nose.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Like it's his eye, but it's also his nose for the pit droid. So I feel like Anakin learned how do you deactivate.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How do you deactivate an actual droid? You hit the eye or the nose.
Wow.
So I love that connection. I saw that and I'm like, wait, I've seen this somewhere.
I literally watched The Phantom Menace last week and nope, didn't even, I mean, obviously I know, you know, go for the nose or whatever he says, but I did not make that connection. I like it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau 2020.
Yep, I'd vote for him.
This is the way.
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 We always talk about from the beginning of an episode. The end of the day, you paint with these colors. The beginning of the day, you paint with these colors. But then you introduce an alien planet. And so what does that do with the colors? So at that point, you're working with shadows and where you want that light to hit characters to tell you what time of day it is. Because in the morning, the planet is cool. The sun is just coming up. And so you have that sunlight coming in, but you know the shadows are cool. And as the day goes on into the afternoon and night, when that sun goes down, you have that same thing with the sun losing its light, but now all the shadows are warmer. We work with that type of palette, and you can tell day and night.
Roger, roger.
You know what I also found kind of funny, but kind of ridiculous?
What?
Is that there's always a giant boulder somewhere. Like, oh, how convenient. Push this one, Wrecker. Okay.
Well, yeah, he's got a Hulk out.
He does, but like if you look around in the scene, there's no rocks anywhere. It's just one massive boulder meatball looking thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
So convenient. And I get it. Yeah. Like, what is he going to do? Go look for one? No, like, I get it. It's part of the episode. Right, and I just thought it was kind of silly.
That's awesome.
Very Indiana Jones-ish with the Bad Batch. And when they're fighting and everything, I don't know. Like, I don't know the Poltecs very well. It's not like I have a long standing care for them because we've seen them a lot, but like I just feel really bad for them. Like they're just caught up in this war and they have nothing to do with it, and it's like they're just getting slaughtered.
But that's why Anakin's there to help them.
Yeah, so like you said, there was lots of action. We get to see a lot of the Bad Batch just being badasses, and I like it because it's different. It's like they work together as a team, and they all have their own unique abilities, but sometimes they even fight with each other or have disagreements. But man, when they get together, man, they work as a team really well, like nothing I've ever seen before.
Like the Avengers.
Like the not even like the Jedi, you know, like the Jedi and the Geonosis, like they were
all... Yeah, no, they were all doing their own thing.
Yeah, they were doing their own thing, and they just happened to be in the same arena, but they weren't, like, fighting as a team.
Except for Anakin and Padme.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
I know Padme is not a Jedi. Do not hate mail me. I know.
The aggressive negotiations.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. That's, like, my favorite one.
Okay. And Wrecker throws Rex again.
Yes!
She's like, how do we get up there?
Onto the walker, yeah.
Onto the walker.
Oh, no, not again!
That was great. That was great.
Love it. I love Wrecker. I told you, he's my new favorite.
And then I remember towards the end of that scene when they've pretty much beaten everybody, Hunter says it's hard to compete with a Jedi because of that awesome move Anakin did.
Oh, like, my God. I want a lithograph of that move.
You mean like widescreen?
Yeah. Like the shot of him force pushing. Like you don't have to see, but it was just a great shot. Like the hair. I don't know what it is with his hair.
Man, you're obsessed with his hair.
You know why? Because I can't find the wig.
Or you don't have hair like him. So
well, that too, but I tried to grow it. It's not gonna happen.
One thing that I also wanted to mention is I always go back to like when people mention the Clone Wars and oh, it's an animated cartoon series, and then like what conjures up in people's minds when you say that. And it's like, oh, so it's a kid's show. You know, I always harp on that, and it's like wait, so they're talking about the Techno Union's profit margin and recouping their investment by losing Echo. I'm like, yeah, kids show? Kids show. Don't have no idea what they're even talking about.
Well, and I understand that from the general public perspective, but like, I was also like 15 when South Park came out.
It's so true.
Like, and it was great because for a little while I was allowed to watch it because my parents assumed it was a kid's show because it was a cartoon. So it works both ways.
Yeah. One last thing I wanted to mention. Do you have anything you want to talk about? I don't want to seem like I'm hogging the show.
No, you're not. That was last week.
Yeah, that was last week.
No, that was the week that I had no idea what to say.
That was also the week where the stupid thing cut off a lot of your audio, so it was unfortunate.
I know, because you talked for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm listening to it, and I said, wow, it's Jabba Jabber, hosted by Dennis. And only Dennis. No, the only other thing I wanted to say was my little theory about the end.
Oh, wait, let me say something first before we get to the end, because that's also something I want to talk about, but I'll let you go first on that.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
So I also remember in Clone Wars where we had the whole thing with the malfunctioning chips and the brains of the clones.
Oh, you mean like one of my favorite story arcs? Yes.
Yeah. And since that's like, I enjoyed that story arc, but it was at the beginning, almost at the series. And I like that it's potentially going to end also with the series. So the first arc was that, and then you got this, but then the control chips and the brains, we know that Rex took his out because he's in Rebels and he says it directly. But then I was also thinking, okay, well, the Bad Batch they have unique mutations, right? So they're called the Bad Batch because they're not the good batch. They're not the ones that they're normal clones. So I'm wondering if they, number one, if they have control chips, and if they do, that if they won't function properly like they're supposed to when Palpatine says execute Order 66, would they malfunction because they have their mutated DNA? What do you think? Like, it's not going to work. Like, they're not going to turn because they're not like all the other clones.
I was going to say, I'm thinking it might not work because I feel like they all have them. Like, it's part of when they're building the clone or whatever they do.
Yeah, like in their embryo stage or something.
Yeah, there you go. Like they stick the chip in there then. Like, it's not something where, like, you know, oh, hey, you're turning almost 18, so we're going to stick a chip in your head.
Right.
Like, you know, it's definitely there like the whole time. So, yeah, the Bad Batch probably, maybe it kills them.
I'm just wondering if they even have it because we're told that they were made specifically with unique mutations.
Well, yeah, but they still have to be made like the rest of the clones. And then later on, they just mess with them, don't they?
No, but even like the physical attributes.
Don't you make like a million at once?
Well, yeah, but these were like special. These are like the special ops versus like the army.
Right.
So I don't know. I honestly don't know. Number one, like I said, if they have the chip, if they do, is it going to malfunction and not work how Palpatine wants them to? And then that somehow ties in as well with Ahsoka and Rex. I don't think this is the last time we see the Bad Batch.
No, I don't think so either.
Like, I think they're going to come in later, like towards the end of the season.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, because then it'd be like, what happens to them?
Well, right. I was going to say, why introduce characters at the very end if you're not going to use them?
So like you mentioned, it was a good episode, and I know you like the Anakin stuff for sure. So was there anything that you didn't like about this episode?
Yes. It was 19 minutes long.
Yes, if you don't count the credits. Yeah, 19 minutes. Very short.
It's too short. Like, come on. It's the last season. And I had the same gripes with The Mandalorian. Like, I don't want it to be filler. I don't. But like, come on. Give me something.
I think it's going to get more and more, maybe not longer with the next episodes, but I think it's just going to become more and more heavy.
If the last episode is not over an hour long, I'm going to be mad.
You're going to be mad. There's no way they're going to make it over an hour long. They're going to make it like 40 minutes tops.
Well, they should. One day they should. They should be the most powerful editors ever.
Oh, God.
I promise you. I will even learn to make the episodes longer.
But I do agree that I think it at least hit the 30-minute mark. That would be nice. But we'll see. Maybe there'll be ones that are longer, surprising us. So then the towards the end of the episode, we have, you want to start talking about that?
Yeah. So they're there with the natives, and Anakin thanks them for their help. And their leader says that the Jedi always have an ally on Skeko Minor.
He said the Jedi will always have an ally here on Skeko Minor.
And Echo pulls Rex aside and says, you know, thanks for coming after him. And Rex just hopes that things are going to be like old times. And Echo agrees. And he kind of, I don't know, I might be reaching. And it's animation. So I feel like they had to do it this way, unless I'm just reading into it. But like, he has this weird look on his face. Like, is he evil? Is he Echo? Is he? And the music, like the last two little notes of the music were just weird. They were off. And I don't know. In my brain, it was like, okay, foreshadowing, you know. Rex was just like, oh yeah, things are just like old times. And then he gives like a look. I mean, that's a classic soap opera thing right there. You know, oh yeah, things are going to be great. And then, you know, like you give the camera like a knowing look and the music goes like dun, dun, dun. And
yeah, it was pretty ominous music, I think. Yeah. And I think you're right. It looked kind of like he wasn't quite sure, like if he wanted it to go be back to just like old times, like Rex said.
Oh, well, yeah, you could take it that way, too.
So I guess we'll find out in the next episode. Maybe the Techno Union is still controlling him somehow.
I remember texting you right after I watched it, and you were like, nah.
Well, then I watched it again.
Okay.
And then I was like, there's something there, maybe.
So yeah, so you do agree with me. So that wraps up our episode recap.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening and bearing with us.
And until next time, I'm David.
And I'm Dennis.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Is it over already? Oh, man!
Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. All names, sounds, and all Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and the respective trademark and copyright holders, unless otherwise indicated. Jawa Jabber, broadcasting exclusively on Utini Radio. Yep, yep, see you, go, but finger.